Good morning. I didn't know it was going to end quite like that. I knew the latter part, that chorus that we sing, Alleluia, Alleluia. But anyway, so it's so good to see all of you this morning. We want to welcome you today on this fifth Sunday after Epiphany, and we're glad that you're with us this morning for worship. And a little bit later on, we're going to be continuing our series dealing with relational challenges, that things that challenge us in life, looking at the book of Nehemiah. And and we also want to welcome those that may be listening online. And later on this week, we're so glad that you can tune in. And so as we begin, let's stand together and join and sing our Gloria Patria. Join together there for our call to worship in the bulletin this morning. Let us gather to listen deeply.
Word of God, speak.
Let us gather with childlike faith.
Wisdom,
let us gather with listening hearts. Well, let's join together there, and we'll sing our first hymn there, In My Heart. There rings a melody. It's on page 638 if you're using the hymn book, or you can follow along on the PowerPoint. We're singing all three verses. I have a song that Jesus gave me. It was sent from heaven above. There was a sweeter melody. 'Tis a melody.
rings a melody, there rings a melody of love. I love the Christ who died on Calvary, for he washed my sins away. He put within my heart a melody, and I know it's there to stay. In my heart there rings a melody, there rings a melody with heaven's harmony. In my heart there rings a melody, there rings a melody of love. 'Twill be my endless theme in glory, with the angels I will sing. 'Twill be a song with glorious harmony, when the chords of heaven ring. In my heart there a melody with heaven's harmony. In my heart there rings a melody, there rings a melody of love.
Well, let's join together there for our opening prayer in the bulletin. God of love and life, speak through our hearts this day. Speak words of encouragement. Open our hearts and minds to perceive your message of love. Be our wisdom, our strength, and our love, that we may bring your wisdom, peace, and grace to the world. Amen. And you may be seated this morning, and we are going to turn to 524 next. It is well with my soul. We'll be singing the three verses of that this morning.
When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll,
it is well with
invite our kids to come down. I think we just have a couple this morning, don't we? Good morning. How are you guys doing? We missed you last week. Yeah. Oh, you were sick. Yeah, I know. There's a lot of stuff going around at school. Yeah. Yeah, there was, I think it was almost all girls last week. I think if I remember right. Yeah. So, I want to talk to you this morning about discouragement. Do you know what that means? That means like when we get down. You ever get down in the dumps? That's kind of another expression. You know what that means? You know, you're just kind of just a little sad, and maybe something happened at school or at home or out on the playground, or maybe you got a grade, a paper back from school, and it wasn't the best grade you wanted to get, and you're kind of down and sad. That's what it means to be discouraged. And last week, we talked about when somebody criticizes us. And I talked about how sometimes when people criticize us, right on the heels of criticism, it can cause us to get discouraged at times. Now, do you know what criticism is? So have you ever had somebody, when you're working on something, and they just keep telling you, no, that's not right. No, 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 that's wrong, that's wrong, that's not right. Do it this way. And it's, they're never happy with what, you know, that's kind of, especially as kids. And you know what? I'm going to be honest, sometimes as adults and as parents, we can do that at times. Because they're in our heads, there's a certain way we want something done. And when you are excited and want to help us, and you don't do it exactly sometimes like the way we want it, us adults can get a little upset. No, 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 don't do it that way. Do it this way. Well, that's okay, but sometimes we come across in the wrong way when we tell you that. I can remember helping my dad when I was probably your age. And he goes, no, no, don't do it like that. Do it this way. Well, he was trying to tell me how to do it, but the way he said it made me think, why do I even help him? Now, I'll be honest, that's what was in my head at that moment. Why am I even helping him? And you know what? I helped him again, and again, and again. But you know what? No, I did kind of learn a lot of things. But that's hard, because sometimes when we, you know what those words were? Why do I even help him? You know what those were? Kind of words of discouragement. And guess what? I was saying them myself. Now, when I talk to the adults a little bit later on, we find out that those people that went with Nehemiah back to Jerusalem to rebuild the walls around Jerusalem, they started saying negative things. And it was a sign of their discouragement. So sometimes we have to pay attention a little bit to what we're saying. Oh, I might as well not even study if I'm always going to get a bad grade on something. You know what that is? Those are words of discouragement. But we got to say something different than that. We have to say, I can do better the next time. Or we can get this done, or whatever you want to say. Or I'm going to learn from Grandpa. He's trying to show me how to work on this piece of wood or whatever it is. You know, and I'm going to listen, and I'm going to try to do real good at it the next time. And or just say, hey, I don't understand. Can you show me? You know. And so discouragement comes in all these different ways. And as you get older, you'll find out that can happen at work and all kinds of things. But as kids, sometimes it happens at school. It happens sometimes when we're trying to help mom and dad out with something, or grandma and grandpa, or whoever, your brothers, you know, or sisters. That happens sometimes too. But just remember, don't let it get too far. But be aware of what is bothering you. And say something to counter that. Now, next week I'm going to talk more about ways we can counter discouragement. But I kind of gave you a little hint at it today. All right? Okay, you guys can go on downstairs this morning. And as they're heading down, we are going to go to our time of prayer. And as we do that this morning, maybe you have a joy or concern that you would like to share before we get started. So, somebody this morning, joys or concern? Yes.
Unspoken?
Okay. Somebody else? Yep. Unspoken? Okay. Somebody else? Yep. Yes. She's been on our monthly. I think, if I remember right, I think she's been battling cancer.
Yes, she has.
And it kind of came back and it got worse again. And yeah, so.
And also,
yeah.
Her brother, Donnie Tanner, is in Huber and he's on dialysis.
Okay. Did you say Don?
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
Don,
that's what I thought. Yeah.
Thank you.
Yes, I think we had prayed for him last week. So, yeah, we want to remember Don and Linda both. I saw another hand. Did you? Yeah, I thought.
Unspoken.
Okay.
And Evelyn's improving. She is home, though. She did not go to the nursing home for rehab.
Oh, wow. That's good. But sometimes, you know, depending on what we go through, sometimes recovery, one person, they bounce back right away, and then other times they don't always. So. Somebody else. Yeah.
Unspoken.
Okay. Someone else. Okay. We want to lift up Smoke and Mary. They're on our monthly list too. Did I see?
Unspoken.
Okay. Somebody else. Yes.
We have a joy. We had a new great granddaughter this week.
Aww.
And it's Julie's granddaughter.
Aww. That's great. Hey, what? Do you have a lot of granddaughters?
The first one.
That's what I thought. I thought it was all boys, it seems like. That's great. That's great. I think I... Yes.
Yeah. From her, we have quite a few. Dr. Kerr and Jim Cabal. We want to keep Rosie, our neighbor, in our prayers because she's home after being in the hospital since October. And Priscilla is in here today and she's had a rough time. Also at the cottages, we had a lady named Rita had a stroke and her husband had dementia really bad. And so they've had to have the family from Illinois help take care of him. And Ellie's supposed to call when they're scheduling the surgery, but she hasn't called yet, so.
Yes.
And the Barnes family. And then my joy today is actually Jean Cabal, and she's here. But her cardiologist said she didn't have to see him for 6 months.
Oh, that's a good thing.
Joy.
That's a good thing. Yes, it is. Who was the very, you said it real fast. Who was the very first name on the list you mentioned?
Doug Kerr.
Ah, gotcha. Yeah. Thank you. So, yeah, there's lots of different ones there. Doug and Rosie are recovery. Jim, I'm assuming he's going through treatments. And, yeah. And then Rita with the stroke. And then Ellie. I talked to her not this past week, but the week before. And with some of that blockage and blood flow in her other leg, which is her good leg. And so we want to remember all of them. Somebody else. Yes.
Unspoken.
Okay. And then I saw another. Yeah. And I saw when you were standing out there, I thought that. I was like, that's got to be Jim and Merle's daughter. Yes. So we're glad that you're with us today. Real quick, I'll check with somebody again. Remember Jill? So Jill finished, Jody, my wife's sister, finished her third round of chemo. Just continue to appreciate prayers for strength and healing. And we don't know yet. It hasn't been set up. And then, you know, you get that whole insurance thing involved. But they're going to want to do another scan to find out. And we're praying that there's a good report on what this three strong rounds of chemo that she went through. So we appreciate your prayers for her today. Anybody else then this morning before we go to prayer? Yeah, I know, and you know that whole thing, and I'm going to be alluding to that in my message today, talking about it. When something like that happens and then it falls through, how discouraging that is. And if you don't know, some of you may not, I know the prayer chain knew about it and I got a message. They thought they had a viable kidney for her for the transplant, and then when it came in, it was not viable. And they couldn't do it. That's twice that's kind of happened now. Appreciate your continued prayers. I think, she's on the monthly, yeah. Yeah, there's several that were mentioned today that's on the monthly. And anybody else then before we go to prayer? All right. Well, we got quite a few of them there. And then maybe if you came in today and something's on your heart, but you could not or didn't want to share out loud, that's fine. But you can lift that up to the Lord while David has something played here and bring that to the Lord in prayer. And then I will come and close us out. We do come to you today. We come just as we are, in our struggles, in our weaknesses, in our failings, and we bring them to you. And today, as some have mentioned, Lord, there are many that have been listed and talked about and mentioned that are struggling in their health and other issues, and Lord, we want to lift them up to you today. We especially lift up Linda today, who's been put into hospice. We just ask for your presence and your grace to be with her and the family, Lord. For Don today, God, we ask for your touch and healing touch and strength with him. For Emily, Lord, with the recovery, God, and Doug, Lord, with recovery, and Rosie with recovery, each one of them, we pray for strength and healing and that you would be with them. We lift up Smoke and Mary to you, God, asking for your presence to be with them and that you would grace them, Lord, with your love today. For Jim, Lord, as he is going through the treatments, we pray for healing in his body. May those treatments do the job that is intended for them. And Lord, we also pray that you'll give him strength and grace in the midst of all of that. We lift up Rita today, asking for your healing touch and your grace for her today. Lord, we lift up the Barnes family, God, for your touch for them today. We lift up Ellie, Lord, with this another a series of blockages. I don't know all the details or I don't remember all the details, but Lord, you know, we ask for your healing touch and your grace, wisdom for the doctors as they want to be able to do surgery to fix some of that and that you'll work all that out and give her favor there, Lord. We pray for Jill, Lord, your continued healing and strength, Lord, We pray for guidance and wisdom as and we're asking, Lord, for a good report as she goes through and eventually gets that scan. We don't know when that's going to be yet, but that there will be progress and healing that will come because of that. And we thank you for that, Lord. We pray for Megan, Lord. God, continue to give her strength for each day. Continue to be with her, Lord. We continue to ask that you would grant favor and that there would be a kidney that would come available, Lord, and that she will able to be able to get that transplant. And Lord, we just thank you for that as we lift that up to you today. Lord, we lift up the six unspoken requests today. Lord, you know each one of those and what that involves. So we lift them up to you. And if those that mentioned it were praying about it earlier, God, I just set my heart in agreeance with you, God, that and with them, Lord, that you will meet the need there and that your grace would be extended and that your love and hand will move in those situations, Lord, today. And maybe for others that talk to you about something, brought something before you, laid something at your feet today, Jesus, we ask that you would just minister and extend your grace and your mercy and your love today to each one of us. Thank you for this time that we can gather in your presence. Lord, as we hear your word and break the bread of your word just in a little bit, I pray that you'll just feed our souls, that you'll continue to encourage us as we continue to look at the life of Nehemiah and those first returnees as they were trying to finish a task that you called them to and to rebuild those walls. God, that you will speak to our hearts and encourage us in the tasks and the will that you have for our lives today. And we thank you for all of those things as we lift them up to you in the name of Jesus, our Savior, the one who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Thank you for joining with us in prayer today. Well, we have the opportunity to worship the Lord with our giving, and thank you so much for your faithfulness, and we know that that is the avenue and one of the ways that God uses us to be a blessing and be a part of his kingdom work in this world. So as our ushers come today, God bless you as you give. Well, let's join together there for our prayer of dedication in the bulletin. Bless these gifts, O God, with your love, your favor, and your grace. May they be a sign of your blessing and presence in the world. Amen. And you may be seated this morning. Well, as we continue on in our series, and we are going to continue in Nehemiah, and we're going to be looking at the next few verses there that we left off from last week with verse 6. And so Nehemiah chapter 4, and we're going to be reading just verses 7 through 12. And so let's begin there. But when Sanballat and Tobiah and the Arabs and the Ammonites and the Ashdodites heard that the work was going ahead and the gaps in the wall of Jerusalem were being repaired, they were furious. They all made plans to come and fight against Jerusalem and throw us into confusion. But we prayed to our God and guarded the city day and night to protect ourselves. Then the people of Judah began to complain. The workers are getting tired, and there is so much rubble to be removed. We will never be able to build the wall by ourselves. Meanwhile, our enemies were saying, before they know what's happening, we will swoop down on them and kill them and end their work. The Judahites who live near the enemy came and told us again and again, they will come from all directions and attack us. That is God's word for us this morning. And I pray that God would add his blessing to the reading of the word, and that the Spirit would give us ears to hear what God wants to say to us this morning. Amen and amen. Well, I did a little looking online and Googling for some jokes dealing with football and the Super Bowl. And I have a couple pages, but I'm not going to share all of them today. But I will. I may share them over the next, the rest of the month or whatever, maybe into March, who knows. But let me share one of them today. A team had lost another football game, and they kept losing. One day, the coach of the team thought, you know what? I'm going to get down there, and I'm going to march on the field at halftime alongside the band so I can encourage my team and get them motivated. Well, as he did, one of the longtime, well-trained majorettes who had thrown the baton up in the air so many times in these games, dropped it. Immediately, a fan from the crowd from the other team said, hey, I see you coach the band too. Yeah. Talk about discouraging. As we go on today, we are, I kind of left this hanging from last week where I said that oftentimes on the heels of criticism or opposition comes discouragement. I told you we were going to talk about the challenges of discouragement. Now, what I thought was going to be one message has turned into two. So next week, you're going to hear the rest of this next week here. And so I'll tell you more about that at the end. Okay, so here we go. We read all that. Wow, there was a lot. You know, those are short, five verses, but there was a lot we were being told about in there. Sometimes, you know, when we're reading through Scripture, we read things so fast that we miss what's going on. And what those verses said there tells me and tells so many others a lot. Nehemiah and the workers had no idea how complicated life was going to get when they committed to following God's task to finish that wall. Some of you here may understand that and know what that is. I understand that. You know, when I was first starting out, felt called to ministry, and everybody, I was 16, and all my, there were people in the church that were coming up to me and saying, man, I see God's call on your life, and we're so excited, and blah, blah, blah. And I go off to college, and the first thing I faced was I missed home. And then when I got over that, then there was other challenges that came along. And then my first pastorate, I had one of the board members come right in and chew me out to my face right in one of our first meetings. Well, I said my piece right there in the middle of it and let him know he wasn't just going to walk all over me. Because I was 26, somewhere in there. And there's always challenges that come. Because all they wanted to do was rebuild the walls. And I didn't know this because I've already talked to you several weeks about this. But when I was looking through one of my commentaries, Williamson, who's professor at Oxford in England, said that the idiom used for rebuilding the walls is also used in Scripture elsewhere about restoring health and well-being. And I thought, whoa, I mean, just preach on that right there. But anyways, so the whole point is God is wanting them to restore and rebuild these walls so there's health and well-being for the city again. Now, I suppose all of us here today, including myself, in some measure have experienced situations where it got worse before it got better. Have you ever been there? It started off and you're like, oh, okay, well, God, you're going to help me. We'll get through this. And then it seems like things are going backwards. They're getting worse. It makes me think of Chuck Swindoll's, this is back in the 80s, one of his earlier books he wrote, Two steps forward and three steps back or something like that. That often in life, that's what happens to us. We take a few steps forward and we're like, yeah, man. And then all of a sudden, we're taking three steps back because of what's happening in our lives. And sometimes that happens just when we're trying to serve God and be a blessing and help out and share our gifts and time and treasures and talents, whatever, you know, all those things. Well, let me say this, and this is kind of a strange thing to know because it's kind of negative, but it is so true. I know this, nothing will take the winds out of our sails, out of my sail, more quickly than discouragement on the heels of criticism, because I've been there many times. The question is, and I don't want to ask the question, how do we deal with it? Because that's going to come next week. I want to know, are we aware of it? And what are the signs? So let's look at it here this morning. Two things that I want us to focus on this week. So first of all, I want to talk about the source of discouragement. The source of discouragement. It's important to know the basis for our discouragement. I mean, the only way we can really face it and deal with it and kind of counter it, so to speak, is to know what the source of it. So here I'm going to use the illustration from what we read. So let me just give you a little gist of what's going on there. When the builders reached that halfway point, remember we talked about that last week, all of a sudden we start reading, and we reread some of it today, all kinds of negative, critical words were flying at them and floating around. And then we read something new this week that says basically, in fact, in Judah, we are told that hopeless voices were lamenting, there is too much rubble, we will never finish. I don't know if you caught when I read the passage and I came to that part, I slowed down and kind of tried to put it a little bit in poetic form. because many of the Hebrew scholars say it's written in poetry and it's a little lament, and it's almost like they're in cadence and they're saying the same thing over, and it's not positive, it's negative. There is too much rubble. We can't handle it, or we can't deal with it, or we will never finish it. Now, let me tell you something. It's hard enough facing things that we deal with in life, but when we start telling ourselves over and over and over again, oh my gosh, I can't deal with this. I'm not going to be able to handle it. We are just, it's like somebody's piling more on top of us in that moment than just the rubble. And then on top of that, remember we talked about them last week, those hostile neighbors, that governor of Samaria, Sanballat and his allies that we read there were threatening harm on the workers to stop their progress. Now, I don't know if you've ever been there before and faced something like that, but it can be overwhelming. And here's the thing I want you to see. A constant barrage of negative voices will or would hinder anybody, anyone. I mean, you'd have to be the most strongest person I've ever met if you would tell me, it's nothing. Just keep going on. And if that's you, well, God bless you. Because you're very fortunate to have that kind of spirit. Because oftentimes, when just one criticism after another, or one negative thing after another, and one thing happening that just keeps falling apart and getting worse, it's overwhelming. And if we're prone to discouragement, hearing such stuff over and over and over again will bring discouragement in a heartbeat, and it'll reinforce within us. That's why it is so important to identify it. And that's what Nehemiah does in our reading today. He specifically identifies it and says who they are and what they're doing and what the response was from the workers. A source of discouragement. Second thing is the signs of discouragement. The signs of discouragement. There's three things. I think I had read in my reading this week a couple others that could be added in there. But these are the three that I saw the clearest out of the passage and was looking at. One symptom of discouragement is a loss of strength. A loss of strength. Listen to this. But in Judah it was said, verse 10 of chapter 4, the worker's strength is failing. And then there's a little other line there. And then all of a sudden at the end it says, we are unable to rebuild the wall. In this verse, it talks about those who are responsible for what's going on in this situation. Nehemiah and the others that are kind of leading it. In fact, it uses an idiom that means those who are bearing the burdens of the group. And it says that those that are responsible for the rebuilding of the wall, and it probably included those key workers, were losing their strength. They had been working a long time, and their strength began to give out on them. And it caused them to start tottering, staggering, stumbling. Have you ever been there before? Have you ever experienced that in your own life? Let me ask you this, and I was thinking about this. Have you ever been worn out working on something only to realize you were only half done? That's what happened. That's what's going on in this story. They're already worn out. They're getting a barrage of criticism. They're getting discouraged. They're tired. And they don't have any strength. And, oh my gosh, I'm only halfway done. I tell you what, there's been way too many times in my life where I had to do something I didn't want to do to begin with. And when I did it, it just seemed like, oh, I got this much done. Phew. oh my gosh, you know, and then a little bit more, oh, you know, a little bit more. And then you finally get done. Oh my gosh. I thought it was going to take forever. You know, in those times, why is it that time seems like it's, I've been here for months, when it's only been half a day? Have you ever been there before? That's because discouragement is hanging around with this ugly head. Discouraging. A second symptom of discouragement is a loss of vision. A loss of vision. Notice what is said there. There's too much rubble. Okay, in the last few weeks, we talked about how their heart was in it. And they were excited about rebuilding the walls. They saw all that rubble when they first got there and started the project. But as they kept working on it, it looked like it was getting worse. It really wasn't. It was the same amount of rubble. But it kept going. All they could see is debris and mortar and broken stones everywhere. Why is that? Why did it look worse? Because the builders had lost the vision of a completed wall, which is how they began the whole thing. And when we lose our vision, we don't know where we're going all of a sudden. Listen to this. It's familiar. Proverbs 29:18, where there is no vision. And the old King James says the people perish. But the Hebrew literally says the people are wild, which means they're losing direction in life. How many of you remember when you were, well, the ladies anyways, how many of you remember when you were first a mom? You were so excited, so enthusiastic. And then months later, if I have to change another dirty diaper. What happened? All of a sudden, all you can see and smell is dirty diapers. You've lost the vision of when you first got that baby. Another symptom of discouragement is a loss of confidence. Now, this one here, I can really relate to. Because sometimes when I am, you know, and sometimes, you know how somebody comes up to you and says, Pastor, why don't we do it this way? Or let's not do that, what you're thinking. Let's try it this way. No problem. But sometimes when people criticize you from a distance, or sometimes to your face in that attitude, like you're the worst person in the world for doing it this way, all of a sudden those kind of things cut and wound. And then out of that, the discouragement comes. And one of the things that hits me is a loss of confidence in what I'm doing. Notice early in the, we first read there, it says that the whole reason that those, that they were firing those negative, critical words at the people was to throw us, Nehemiah says, throw us into confusion. So that all of a sudden they start saying, we can't do it. And the idea behind that is they begin to lose heart in that situation. Remember, a few weeks ago, we said they had heart in it. Their heart was in it, and they were excited about it. And then they lost heart. Perhaps the most devastating sign of discouragement is an obvious loss of confidence or self-assuredness. And the Hebrew does not have a word for confidence. Here's what, discouragement versus a loss of confidence in that. Here's how the Hebrew expresses a loss of confidence. They greatly fall in their eyes. So when you greatly fall in your own eyes, you are losing self-confidence. You are losing self-assuredness. And the whole purpose of the criticism and opposition they faced was to cause the builders not only lose strength and vision, but to lose their confidence in what they were doing. And then all of a sudden, as I shared a little bit ago with that word about they go wild, is they begin to wander and stray from the task. Watch out. These are the signs of discouragement. So let me close by saying this. No one is exempt from discouragement. As I talked about last week, no one is exempt from criticism or opposition. Such is life and human nature. But when it comes, the two things I want you to see today is we must be able to identify it and identify that source, and also to see the signs of it. Because when we do, then we'll know how to talk to God about it or others. And as we'll see next week, we'll talk about more of ways that Nehemiah had instructed them to do certain things that help combat and counter their discouragement. Amen. Amen. Well, let's take a few moments and greet one another and share that blessing. And then we will close out there with our chorus there. Surely the presence of the Lord is in this place. This morning, surely the presence of the Lord is in this place. It's 314. If you'd like to sing it out of the hymn book, I think we're singing it through twice. Surely the presence of the Lord is in this place. I can feel His mighty power. Mighty power and His grace. I can feel the brush of angels' wings. I see glory on each face. Surely the presence of the Lord is in this place. Well, let's join together there for our benediction in the bulletin. Go wherever and however God leads.
We lead in peace with God's love in our hearts.
Go with the courage of Christ and the spirit of love. Amen. And don't forget about picking up the giving things if you gave in 2024, your record of it in the back.